Welcome to the New Swingers Podcast, the only podcast in the world specifically created for and focused on couples who are new to or curious about the swinger lifestyle. It is for audiences of those age 18 years and older. And though we give our opinions, we are not therapists or mental health professionals, and our opinions are simply our own. So here's the deal. Lots of couples new to the swinger lifestyle have a lot of questions, and they're often nervous or feel insecure. Our mission is to help you answer all of those questions so you can explore the swinger lifestyle comfortably at your own pace and make your sex life sizzle. Our voices have been changed to protect our identities, and any email questions of yours that we read will be addressed anonymously to protect your identity as well. And a lot of you ask about wanting to see what June looks like because she sounds so hot. Well, she is hot, and here's how you can see what she looks like. This hot, sexy, gorgeous, former church preschool teacher turned hot swinger wife. Just click the first link in the show notes to check out June's OnlyFans page. You'll get unlimited access to hot, daily, uncensored glimpses of her and her gorgeous 32 double D pierced nipples. She gets pretty crazy on there. Just click the first link in the show notes. Welcome back to the New Swingers Podcast. I'm John.
And I'm June.
And today we're talking about overcoming mixed signals with your spouse and hypocrisy in the lifestyle. So this is basically, it's based on an email received from one of you listeners, and we appreciate you sending that in. And if you want to send in your questions to possibly be addressed anonymously, just send us an email with your questions to newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, today is actually something we've sort of dealt with in the lifestyle, not like this, but to an extent. And so there's been a little bit of a flip script from our experience, and you'll understand what we mean by that in a little bit. But yeah, this is really important because, you know, everybody's different. Everyone's at a different place mentally. They were raised differently. They had different ideas about sexuality, what's okay, what's not, or maybe what they like isn't what you like. And then it's, if you're accepting of them, but they're not accepting of you. And it's usually rooted in fear or jealousy, which is probably, again, rooted in fear. We found that pretty much every fucking problem in the lifestyle usually comes down to some sort of deeply rooted fear, no matter what it is. It usually comes down to that always. And so today we're going to have you read this email anonymously. And it's called, the subject line is Mixed Signals.
Morning, y'all. I'm a 34-year-old female from Florida. I stumbled upon your podcast while looking for podcasts to kind of dip my toes into the lifestyle. I've known that I was bi since I was a teenager and have had a couple threesomes when I was younger, but had no idea that meant you were in the lifestyle. Haha. So fast forward to now, the other half, 42 male, and I have been together for 12 years. We've always talked about threesomes, watched porn together, and have in all had a fantastic sex life. The threesomes we have discussed have always been male, female, female. When I mentioned swinging and possibly having a male, male, female, he completely shot it down and said he didn't want another guy inside his girl. I feel like this is completely unfair, but I compromised on it to be able to still have the opportunity of a MFF and still respect his boundaries. Now, a week after we had this conversation, he had an opportunity to indulge a woman that has been flirting with him, cute little comments, then says he looks good in his truck and could give her a ride. Mind you, I have already given him the bright green light on this. He came home and told me about it and said he told her no, so me, shocked, uses some of the tips I've learned from y'all about talking about the lifestyle from our partners or with our partners. And I try to find out what the root issue is, and he says he doesn't know. He says he just doesn't think he could ever do it. So here I sit, crushed, feeling a lot of my fantasies that I've been so excited about have come to a screeching halt. My sex drive has been crazy high for over a month since I've been listening to your podcast and a couple others. And now I just feel like I've lost it overnight. How would you handle this situation? obviously my relationship is so much more important than any playtime we may have, but I'm kind of pissed that he's played with the idea of a threesome for so many years and now he kind of backtracked. So I don't know if it's nerves or if he legitimately feels like he doesn't want anyone else. I know it makes me the oddball, but as the female, I just want to yell, please, for the love of everything holy, go get your dick sucked. And maybe make a video of it, LOL.
She sounds awesome, by the way.
Thank you so much for your content. It's really helped my sex drive, confidence, and understanding what the lifestyle is really like versus what everyone tries to make people think it is. Well, thank you. I'm glad you're listening.
So, June, what are your initial thoughts based on that, based on this scenario? So, it sounds like basically he has the green light to do whatever he wants, but he doesn't want to give her the same green light.
I think he sounds a lot like I was.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
Because the first year and a half-ish of the lifestyle, I've been the one that's really had issues with things that John's wanted to try. And he's not had any issue with anything that I've wanted to try. And I realize a big part of it is because the way I was raised. And then the other part of it is the main thing is that it was rooted in fear of if he does this with this woman, am I going to feel like he's going to want to replace me, or is he going to like this person better than me? Is she doing something that I am not the best at doing, or whatever, A, B, C, D, E, like whatever it is, like, is she going to be doing that better than what I do? And is she hotter than me? Like, it's all those things for me. And the main thing was that I don't want to be left. The huge one for me has always been, my number one thing has always been, I don't want to be left by, you know, I don't want to be replaced. I don't want him leaving me for some other woman. And so when he's wanted to try different things, different scenarios, I've had a problem with it. Not because I don't love him for him, not that I don't want him to try the things he wants to try. I think it's always been me fearful of the fact that what if he likes this person better, or he replaces me. And so it sounds to me like this might be, I don't know him, but I don't know if he's been in a relationship before where he was left by somebody else, or if he grew up like I did, where my mom constantly told me how my dad left her for another woman. And so that rooted that fear right there as a kid growing up, always hearing that. And so I don't know, like, but he just sounds a lot like what I've dealt with.
Yeah. I think it's a similar battle, even though it's a different one because, you know, you're a woman, obviously, and this is a guy. I'll tell you, for a guy, probably, and I'm not speaking for all guys, but these two things are probably in the top two as far as objections of not wanting your lady to interact with another guy. For the first one is probably, what if his dick is bigger than mine? You know, like, there's this obvious common fear among a lot of men. Most guys don't talk about it, but what if the guy's dick's bigger than mine? And it's kind of like, once you've been around a while, you just kind of like, well, what if it is? Because there's this thought that, well, if his dick's bigger than mine, maybe she'll like him better than me. Then so that's insecurity. And it's not, I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm saying, cause it's a real thing that we all deal with. But on that though, you have to remember that only about 5% of women are size queens.
Yeah.
Size queens, meaning they're like, I can't have a good time sexually unless his dick is like 8 or 9 inches or bigger. Like, they need a fucking monster energy drink up in them. Like, that's a very small percentage of women. And I've even heard so many women complain about guys who do have big dicks like that. They complain that, oh, the guys with the really big ones, they show up and they're like, here it is. And they don't know how to use it. They got nothing else. No other skills. Now, I'm not saying that's every guy with a huge dick. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not what I'm saying. But it's something I hear frequently. Mm-hmm. from women in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So if that's the thing, I mean, even if it was, like, we played with friends who I didn't know until we got in the bedroom, and it's like, man, that guy's like significantly bigger than me, and I'm not small. So, I am slightly above the average of what would be considered average. So, I'm not small, but I'm not a giant in the pants either, but I'm slightly above average. But like in what, like you just said, you're saying, thank God.
Thank God.
You don't even like when something's huge.
Oh my God, no.
And so like you're not one of those people that likes that. And the majority of women, I've been told, they like it big enough to get the job done, but not any bigger. Because then, as you always say, you don't feel like walking around sore for a week.
I don't want to walk around funny for a week or a week and a half.
Guys, have you found it difficult to get and keep an erection while at lifestyle events? If so, you're not alone, and it's common. The new environment and the distractions can contribute to a lack of an erection due to performance anxiety at the very moment you need it the most. I personally ran into this issue early on in the lifestyle, and it was super frustrating. But don't worry, there's a solution. If you use our link in the show notes and use the coupon code NEW, N-E-W, at checkout, you'll get $30 off your order of FDA-approved ED medication from Shameless Care, so you can get hard and stay hard in the moments that matter most. Don't question your manhood or feel like less of a man ever again. Just click the link in the show notes right now to get $30 off before the promotion ends, so you can get back in the game and blow your sex partner's mind. Click the link right now and simply use the coupon code NEW, N-E-W, at checkout. So the second fear of his might be, like you said, June, getting replaced. What if, because women are more emotional during sex? What if she bonds with another person and then wants to leave you? Because you've heard these stories. And you know what? Things like that do happen with people in and out of the lifestyle. But that doesn't happen to everybody. Certainly hasn't happened to us, and it's definitely not going to. We have no fear of that. But I think the third thing that comes to mind as a guy through my own personal experience would be that it's just so weird to think to see. Because I was the only guy for the past almost 20 years that's been with you. And then we're in the lifestyle and wanted to try things out. I get nothing out of seeing June with another guy. But I know if she wants to try something, I love her enough to let her be who she is. And I have no insecurity that, oh my God, she'll like somebody better. Or what if he's different than me in a way that ends up being good? Well, I guess I just get to know my wife a little bit better, but it's not threatening to our relationship, at least not for us. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember the first couple times we, had another guy involved. And, it was mainly a swap situation with him and his girlfriend. And it was kind of weird. Because anything you see or experience the first time is going to be weird. Because I'm not used to seeing that. And I thought, well, I had seen him in other place scenarios with other people, multiple, several times. And he was a good dude. He was respectful. He was never pushy. He was never an asshole. And so I wasn't worried that he would be that way with us either. Because I certainly wouldn't have tolerated it.
Yeah.
But I'd seen him several times in other situations with others. And, he was, in your words, June, she says attractive like me. So, like her type. So that wasn't a big deal. I did think it was kind of weird to me the first time, a couple times seeing it. It still kind of is. But the thing that makes the biggest difference for me is that I've gotten to know the guy a bit, like that he's a good dude. We had a couple over here, was it last month? And, we introduced them to our new sex room and, that was a full swap thing. And it's still kind of weird for me to see, especially cause I don't really get, like, some guys get really turned on seeing their lady with another guy. I don't, it's just not who I am, but,
And I don't get turned on either by seeing him with another woman. Like, I never have. I don't get any thrill out of seeing that either. And at first it was very uncomfortable for me. And now it's like, okay, I just have to realize he's enjoying himself and it doesn't that he's not replacing me just because he's having a good time with this person.
Yeah. And to me, it doesn't occur even to like replace. I mean, other ladies are fun, but like to me, it's like she knows this about me and so do I. Variety is the spice of life. It has nothing to do. Like, the last thing I want is another fucking relationship and everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
But I want to have fun and play. That's fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect anything less from you because, well, you're human also. You like sexual pleasure also. So, again, like I was saying, though, the thing that's made it easier for me when there's another guy involved is that I've almost always gotten to know the guy a little bit. And I know he's not, you know, a piece of shit. I know he's not, you know, all these different things I just talked about, like rude or pushy or, you know, he's very respectful. And that the big, and also the biggest thing is she wants to try that thing. She wants to try that dynamic. Well, if she gets to try the dynamics that she wants, then I get to try the ones that I want.
Yep.
Where we have always butted heads was, we've alluded to this already, but she was so insecure. She wasn't trying to be bitchy and hypocritical. I really don't believe that.
No.
But she was being so. But it was driven by fear, not out of malice.
Yeah.
And I always knew that. But it still, it got to a point with me where it's like, look, you get to enjoy what you want. And I sure as fuck am going to enjoy what I want. And if you have a problem with that, I've had to have some really stern conversations with you.
Yeah.
So if you have a fucking problem with that, we have bigger problems. And we've had, sometimes just had to walk away from the conversation, come back later. We know we love each other and we talk about it. And it's just, it got to a point where it's like, all right, what is the fucking devil here? What is the demon? What? And it was always that fear that I would leave. And at some point, we had to sort of jump off the diving board, jump off the cliff into the river, mm-hmm. go, you know what? We're going to try this. Now, if you were totally against it, I would never try anything. But my dictation is this, it's, we're going to try this. And you know what? If we don't like it, if there's something that just messes with you, fine, we'll never do it again. I'm on your side. But the only reason I would ever push for me getting my thing is because I'm 100% for June trying anything she wants, anything.
Yeah.
And so if I didn't allow her that freedom from my end, if I wasn't giving that to her, I would not expect it in return. Mm-hmm. But because I open and freely give that to her or allow that from my angle in the relationship, I demand the same thing in return.
Yeah.
I have zero tolerance for hypocrites, zero patience. And so that was a big thing for me. I knew that she was being hypocritical, but I also knew it was fear-driven. And so I was very gracious, but it came to a point where, like, hey, it's been 9.5 months. You've gotten to explore yourself and enjoy it. And what the fuck? Like, why am I paying for it every time? And we'll do a whole probably episode on this at some point. But it got to a breaking point.
Yeah.
Where it was like, look, we're not moving forward at all like this. Not another inch. Like, we seriously need to deal with this. I don't think it needed to get that bad. But for us in particular, that's just sort of how it went.
Yeah.
And whenever it got that bad, shit would blow up. Sometimes we just, like, the whole next day would just be silent, but we know we love each other. And so the thing is, it's like, you both have to be open to each other. You have to be open to the fact that you're married to a person who is different and they're not you.
Yeah.
You have your likes, they have theirs. Some guys like ladies, some ladies like guys, some ladies like guys and ladies and vice versa.
Me.
Like you. And so, like, I mean, you know, I don't like other guys. I'm completely 100% heterosexual. So that's the kind of thing I like. And she's okay with that. Mm-hmm. So it's again, this all comes back to fear. There is a fear that he has. If you dig down, you sit down and go, look, describe to me how it would make you, I want you to picture this uncomfortably. I would recommend, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a professional in relationships. So you can take this or leave it. I'm not a professional giving this advice, but I would ask. I would say, like, let's imagine we're doing a male-male-female threesome. You and another guy with me. Can you describe what you're feeling in that moment? And he probably will. Then ask him why. And listen. When he tells you why, listen. Then ask him why again. And do this, like, 3 or 4 times deep. you're trying to get to the root. When you're digging up a tree, you don't get to the root the first time you dig the shovel into the ground. Mm-hmm. You got to dig that fucking thing in sometimes 7, 8, 9 times. And each dig in with the shovel is asking the question, well, why is this? Why is that then? Mm-hmm. And why that? You're not trying to be annoying. You're trying to get clarity.
Yeah.
And this is what's intelligent. This is called communication. And sometimes you'll both discover something you didn't know was there. And once you know it's there, things are pretty easy to deal with. If you know what the enemy looks like, it's a lot easier to destroy the enemy together instead of thinking the other person is the enemy.
Well, and this is a little off base a little bit, but I remember we were fighting, and then we realized I'm trying to love you how I need to be loved. Like, so I like to be told. I like for John to tell me what to do, because then I'm not thinking, I'm getting out of my head. I can stay out of my head. I like him telling me what to do. I like him being daddy and he tells me what to do. And then I was trying to do that to John. And that was also a big problem we had, is I was trying to love John the way that I need to be loved. And he just needs to be loved for who he is and just let him do whatever he wants to do and love and accept him along the way. Instead of with me being, hey, tell me what to do. I was trying to tell him what to do. And that just made things worse.
One of the biggest challenges people face when they're new to the swinger lifestyle is finding other like-minded people to connect with and get to know. Because most people don't want others to know they're in the lifestyle. So how can you actually find these people? It's very simple, actually. Just go download our free 2-page guide called Swing Easy. It's a free 2-page PDF document where we show you 3 of the fastest and easiest places you can start meeting other couples just like you in the next 24 hours or less, guaranteed. Just click the link in the show notes that says free Swing Easy PDF so you can start connecting with other like-minded couples and making new, fulfilling friendships and connections in the next 24 hours or less. Go click the link and grab it right now before the offer expires. Yeah, that was like one of the huge turning points with the conflicts we were having. We were trying to love each other in the way that each of us receives love, but we each receive love in a different way.
Yeah.
And we just didn't know. Straight up didn't know.
Yep.
But I guarantee you, your husband's thing, it might sound selfish, and it probably is to an extent. And I would say that about anybody, a man or a woman or whatever, who's in this situation. But that selfish is probably rooted in fear.
Yes.
You need to find out what the fuck that is. And getting down to the why, that he can't or won't do that. Because if he can do whatever he wants, but you can't, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Me personally, I would not tolerate that shit. And I haven't. In fact, when I was nicer, shit got worse for us. Because I was being so nice, it allowed you to walk on me because of your fear. Again, you weren't being malicious, but we had this phrase that kept coming up that, mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself, but my outcome never changes.
Yeah.
Whether you're feeling good about something or not, it tended to be that I just always got fucked over. Now, you got to enjoy your thing, explore your new thing, but it was like there was always a consequence. You'd either get mad before, during, or after the thing, mm-hmm. and there was always a price for me to pay.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where, like, I'm done fucking doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, we're done with everything. Like, not each other, but, like, the lifestyle. Now, again, I only demanded that level of openness because I give that to her.
Yes, he did.
If I was saying, hey, I want to play around with these other ladies, but I don't want you doing this with other ladies or guys or whatever it is that you want to explore, that would be a lot of fucking hypocrisy on my end. Mm-hmm. And everybody would be happy to crucify me as the man. A lot of times when a woman gets that way, people come to her defense. The dynamic is no different, though.
No,
it's just it's the way in society people like to see things, and it's fucked. So, again.
But I want to reiterate that is always been the case. John has always let me be who I am and has loved and accepted me and let me try anything I wanted to try. And so I agree that he demanded the same. So I just want people to know, like, that's really how it happened and how it's always, you know, how it's been.
we've had these battles too. It was kind of this battle, but it was in reverse because it wasn't me, the husband, in this case, but it was June in this husband's case. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, the final 2 points here in conclusion, and just our personal experience, we've been in lifestyle only a couple of years, but, you know, we're in it, doing it for real, and documenting it through this podcast. And we've also almost been married for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're new to relationships. And we've been very fucking happily married.
Yeah.
I mean, great fucking life together. Not one of those marriages like, oh, how's the family? Oh, we're getting by. How's the marriage? Oh, you know what's going. No, it's been fucking great. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Find that root fear. And to find that, make sure, do as much as you can to make it feel like there's no consequence for him, to be honest.
Yeah.
You might have to talk a while to dig down into it because us men, we're not transparent very easily sometimes, just because we're taught, you know, it's weak to be that way and shit. But if you get down to the root fear, you can get him to actually, you know, dig down into that with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of it like a therapy session. If you're talking to a stranger, a therapist, you try to act like you're kind of outside it, and you're talking from an observational standpoint. It can be hard to do because you are the people in it, but look at it from an observational standpoint. You're trying to like methodically break down what is this thing in front of us, and you're working together toward it.
Yeah.
And you also have to be open to this possibility. You may have to be open to the possibility that he might never change. He might never change his mind. And you know what? He doesn't have to. If it's just something he can't bring himself to do, look, most people have a sort of limit there. So you need to be open to the fact he might not change that. Now, I agree. Your situation sounds completely unfair. And we don't even know you, but we both agree.
Yeah.
But we know his thing is probably rooted in fear somewhere. Mm-hmm. And if he's never going to change, you're going to need to come to some sort of compromise. Or seriously consider the choices of your relationship. I mean, hopefully after, I think, what they say, 12 years, that's a pretty long time. I would hope, you know, this isn't something that would destroy a marriage of over a decade.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to be you, just like he's able to be him. Those are the happiest couples in the world. I remember there was a 70, 80-year-old couple on this swinger show we were watching. And it was their first event. I think they were like Naughty Nolans or something. And somebody asked them, they said, what's the key to a long, happy marriage? These people have been married like for over 50 years. Mm-hmm. They got married like after like World War II or something. It was, okay, probably Vietnam, but they looked at them. And the wife, I think it was the wife, one of them said, here, the key to a happy marriage is both of you being okay with who the other person is in the bedroom. Like, whatever the other one likes in the bedroom, go for it and let it be. Whatever they like in the bedroom, do it. Mm-hmm. That was their advice. So this isn't just us. Now, we're not saying anybody should do anything they're uncomfortable with, or that somebody should go into an uncomfortable situation because their spouse wants to. Whether you're the husband or the wife or whatever, we are not saying that.
Yeah.
We're saying we've also discovered that to be true. The more we can truly be ourselves around each other and be known with each other, it makes everything better.
Well, and it makes our love for each other stronger when we're able to, you know, now that I'm finally like past all this shit, it's taken this long to get there, but I'm finally feel like I'm finally past all of it. It's like when we can really love each other and accept each other fully for all that we each other are, like all it's done is made our love for each other even stronger. And then that's less likely for my fear to happen, which is being left by somebody, you know, for somebody else, because all that's doing is reinforcing that love for each other. Like it's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, in conclusion here again, something you might consider after you discuss and try to find out what the root fear of this might be, think about what some baby steps might be that you can both agree on going in the direction of what you want to try. Like, what are some baby steps that you can take together? That's if he's willing. Again, if the other person isn't willing, you shouldn't try to coerce them into anything. But if you feel they get to be them and you don't get to be you, that's a big fucking problem, because what's going to happen, over time is that you're going to breed a lot of resentment for that person. You're not going to respect them very much, and who would? And that's going to chisel away at the quality of your marriage. So that's why this is important. This is, I mean, talk to any mental health professional, ask anybody who's overcome any sort of toxic relationship things, and they're aware of boundaries now and things like that. This is real stuff. So check out, try to get to the root of those fears, accept that he may never change. And you're just going to have to make choices about which way you both want to go with that, whether that's the case or not. But if there are any baby steps you can take together, and you can communicate clearly and take those baby steps for you getting to try things you want. It's not always easy to go 0 to 100 miles an hour, but can you go 0 to 30 and then go, okay, next time let's go 0 to 50. Then let's try to hit 75. There's a difference between jumping off a diving board and jumping off like a 40-foot cliff. Yeah. You know, but some things you work your way into them. You work your way up and you get more comfortable and familiar. And it's just not as big of a deal. So that's my take on this.
Yeah.
Well, and again, if you guys want to find more like-minded couples in your area, go download our free Swing Easy PDF. It's here in the show notes. It's the 3 easiest places to meet other like-minded swinger couples in the next 24 hours or less, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. And also, be sure to check out June's OnlyFans. She's doing hot stuff on there. And if you want to know what this beautiful lady, this beautiful Southern accent lady looks like, you can go there and check that out. Thanks for listening to the New Swingers Podcast. Do you have a question about the swinger lifestyle or an issue you're struggling with? Send us an email at newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. newswingerspodcast@gmail.com. And there's a good chance we may anonymously feature and discuss your question so it can be helpful for you as well as other listeners. Just send us an email at newswingerspodcast@gmail.com.